We're going to start out, oddly enough, with a poem. It's titled Kind Words. The finest music in the world, the sweetest and the best, is the music of kind words in loving thought expressed. The tender language of the heart, the universal tongue, striking sympathetic chords in minds of old and young. Understood by saints and sinners, foolish men and wise, in every race and in every land, beneath God's broad blue skies. The gentle voice, the friendly tone, the words kindly and sincere, seem to fall like golden music on the listening ear. When we hear a word of love, of hope, and of charity, we seem to catch an echo of angelic melody, lovelier than the flutes of spring, or thrill of singing birds, sweetest music in the world, the music of kind words. When we look at the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5, when a person walks in the way that the Spirit directs, it produces a fruit. And we pointed out several times, it doesn't say fruits, it produces a fruit that has many attributes to it. And in Galatians chapter 5, looking at verse 13, "For you were called to freedom, brethren, only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, in the statement, 'You shall love your neighbor as yourself.' But if you bite and devour one another, take care that you do not are consumed by one another. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so you may not do the things that you please. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envyings, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarned you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. For if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit." Now, of all the things that we mentioned today, we're going to focus on the word kindness today. The Greek word for kindness, and I cannot pronounce Greek very well, kairos, is a form of a word for the word usefulness. It means kindness, can be translated goodness, or sometimes it's translated as honesty. When we talk about God, God is good. And he teaches us to be the same. Take a look at Psalms 119. Psalms 119 and in verse 68. "You are good and do good. Teach me your statutes." God teaches us to be good, just like he is himself. And it's from God's goodness, that's the reason we are saved. In Psalms chapter 25, Psalms 25 and in verse 7, "Do not remember the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to your loving kindness, remember me. For your goodness' sake, O Lord." The reason we are saved is not because we deserve it, not because we earned it, but because God is good. And it's for his sake that we are saved. And compared to God, none of us are good. In Psalms 14, take a look at verse 1. "The fool has said in his heart, 'There is no God.' They are corrupt. They have committed abominable deeds. There is no one who does good. The Lord has looked down from heaven upon the sons of men to see if there are any who understand, who seek after God. They've all turned aside. Together they have become corrupt. There is no one who does good, not even one. Now, in that list in Galatians chapter 5, down in verse 22, it said both goodness and kindness are listed together. And sometimes there's a difficulty distinguishing those two words. Kindness is the charotis word, while goodness here is a different word, agathosim. The primary difference is kindness involves the idea of mildness and gentleness. In fact, that's used in Romans chapter 11 in the Greek, and it brings about a stronger contrast. Take a look at Romans 11, and in verse 22. Remember, kindness is the idea of doing good from a mild and gentle aspect. And think about that. Behold the kindness and severity of God. That's the contrast between the two. To those who fell, severity, but to you, God's kindness. If you overcome in his, or if you continue in his kindness, otherwise you too will be cut off. God is both severe, but he's also kind. He's good and gentle. And serves as a contrast. And gentleness is a quality of God's teachings. Take a look at James. James chapter 3 and in verse 17. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. That is what God's teaching is about. It's gentle. It's peaceable. It's something to be desired. It's reasonable. Alexander McLaren said, kindness does not require us to be blind to facts or to live in fancies, but it does require us to cherish a habit of goodwill, ready to show pity if sorrow appears, and slow to turn away even if hostility appears. That's what kindness is about. But gentleness is about. Gentleness is how we're supposed to treat our fellow man. Take a look at Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3 and verse 2, to malign no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing every consideration for all men. Kindness eliminates the hardness and the bitterness from our lives. It helps us to be found to be acceptable and somebody that people think are worth listening to. Gentle manifests itself in a deep and genuine concern for other people. There was a man who lived many years ago named Samuel Johnson. He was an English writer. He was known for his kindness. But one man complained that the only way to get a favor from Samuel Johnson was to do him an injury, because then he would pay attention to you. Johnson was kind. He prayed for his enemies. He was ready to forgive. Maybe we shouldn't go as extreme. We should pay attention to everyone. But Jesus taught us this is how we're to act when people are against us, that we show kindness in response. And it's so against the grain that's built into so many people. In Matthew chapter 5, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 44, But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven, for he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. For you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? If you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than the others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Therefore, you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. I look out in the world, and there are all sorts of people that if you do them something bad, they turn around and do bad back to you. Oh, you might also find this other, well, you do them bad, okay, I'm just going to ignore you. I'm just going to put you off in the corner and just pretend you're not there. But Jesus is saying, go the other direction. When someone does wrong, we pray for them. When someone does us bad, we show kindness to them. Because that's what's going to win them over. When instructing servants on how to treat their masters. And today we would talk about how you as an employee would treat your bosses. Take a look at 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 18. Servants, be submissive to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and gentle, but also to those who are unreasonable. There again, that's something that's difficult. We don't see this much in today's world. It doesn't matter if you have a great boss or a horrible one. Treat them with submissiveness. Follow what their directions are. Be kind to them. See, in other words, kindness is not reserved only for those people who are treating us well. We're the ones who initiate it in the world around us. Paul reminds the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, starting in verse 5. He says, for we never came with flattering speech, as you know, nor with a pretext for greed, God is witness, nor did we seek glory from men, either from you or from others, even though as apostles of Christ we might have asserted our authority, but we proved to be gentle among you. As a nursing mother tenderly cares for her own children, having so fond an affection for you that we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but our own lives, because you have become very dear to us. This is how people respond to the message of Christ. You don't win souls by standing over them dictating that they have to follow Christ. They do. But show the love that you have for them. The desire that you have that they might be saved. And when we talk about kindness, we're not talking about just the major deeds that we do. Even the small acts that we do, this helps smooth somebody else's way. Those are important. David's a good example of this. In 2 Samuel chapter 9, you have to remember that David spent a good part of his young adult life running for his life from Saul. Saul was trying to kill him. But later on, when David becomes king, it says in verse 3, the king said, is there not yet any one of the house of Saul to whom I may show the kindness of God? And Ziba said to the king, there is the son of Jonathan who is crippled in both feet. Saul did horrible things. David was afraid of his life for most of his young adult life. And yet, after it's over with, he wants to show kindness to someone out of Saul's house. And he took Mephibosheth into his house to feed him and take care of him. It didn't matter about the past or who did what. David wanted to show the kindness of God to someone else. When we show kindness, we're showing respect. A gentle person deals with other people with integrity. And a lack of kindness, a harshness in disposition, causes some to react to others in a patronizing or condescending way. If we're to give the teachings of the Lord a chance, we have to be gentle in our approach to other people. Take a look at 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and in verse 24. The Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome, but be kind to all, able to teach, patient when wronged, with gentleness correcting those who are in opposition, if perhaps God may grant them repentance, leading to the knowledge of the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil, having been held captive by him to do his will. Here then is how we are to teach, with kindness, with gentleness, trying to lead people to Christ and out of Satan's trap. It's how Paul said that he taught of God's mercy in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians 6, starting at verse 1, it says, "And working together with him, we also urge you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, at acceptable time I listened to you, and on the day of salvation I helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Giving no cause for offense in anything, so that the ministry will not be discredited. But in everything, commending ourselves as servants of God, in much endurance, in affections, afflictions, in hardships, in distress, in beatings, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in sleeplessness, in hunger, in purity, in knowledge, in patience, in kindness, in the Holy Spirit, in genuine love, in the word of truth, in the power of God, in the weapons of the righteousness for the right hand and the left, by glory and dishonor, by evil report and good report, regarded as deceivers and yet true." How did Paul teach? He did it with love. He did it with respect for other people, despite how he was being treated and the hardships that he was going through. Kindness is also linked with mercy. It's impossible, basically, to be kind without also being merciful. Excuse me. God showed his great kindness toward us by and through his mercy. Going back to Psalms, in Psalms 117, Psalms 117, and in verse 1, "Praise the Lord, all nations, laud him, all peoples, for his loving kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord is everlasting. Praise the Lord." And that's the entire psalm. His kindness, his great love for us, is shown in his mercy towards us. We get less than what we deserve. He also showed love to us in that when we're sinners, he sent Christ to die on our behalf. And in Ephesians chapter 2, Ephesians chapter 2 and in verse 4, "But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. God shows mercy in his kindness. And because of his kindness, he shows us mercy. James points out that every gift that we have comes from God. In James chapter 1 and verse 17, James chapter 1 verse 17 says, every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. God is consistently good. And all that we have, all the blessings that we have in this life, and most especially the blessing of our salvation, comes out of God's goodness. I don't know about you, but if you ever gave a gift to somebody, something that you put a lot of thought into, you worked on it, and the person just snubs it, just doesn't care much about it, it hurts. Think about how much work God has put into giving the gift of his son to give us salvation. The effort that he has put into it. And Paul asks this question in Romans 2 and verse 4. Or do you think lightly of the riches of his kindness and tolerance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance? Why aren't you changing? Don't snub God's gift. Because he gave it out of kindness and love for us. And when we get out of sort with our families or our brethren or our neighbors, sometimes maybe even out of sort with ourselves, we need to remember that the Christian is kind. He's to be gentle in his dealings with other people. It doesn't matter if I had a horrible day at work. It doesn't matter if my back is killing me. I, as a child of God, need to show kindness. In Colossians chapter 3, look at verse 12. So then, as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other, even at whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. We need to realize that what makes us a great people, what gives us, in a sense, power, is the gentleness that God teaches us and has shown towards us. In Psalms 18 and in verse 35, Psalms 18, verse 35, says, you also have given me the shield of your salvation, and your right hand upholds me, and your gentleness makes me great. You enlarge my steps under me, and my feet have not slipped. Are you willing to accept the offer that God has given, the gift that God has given us? There's a time right now to put on Christ. If there are those who perhaps have received that gift, maybe you haven't been as gentle or as kind to your fellow man as God requires, and you would like the prayers of your brother on your behalf. Why don't you come forward as we stand and sing the song, the selected.